Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside Network Marketing. This is Len Clements, the founder and CEO of MarketWave. You can learn all about us at marketwaveinc.com. And this is February 13th, 2011. And this show is going to be all monotium for the entire hour, hopefully no longer than an hour. We'll see how it goes. But this is a show about one particular opportunity out there that's actually gotten some traction. It looks like it's getting pretty hot. It's something that I actually thought would sort of fade away on its own, but it doesn't look like it's going to. I'll explain why I think that here in a minute. So I thought I should really take some time to explain to you why this portfolio concept or MLM umbrella concept is really such a flawed concept and a failed concept throughout network marketing history, and why history is probably about to repeat itself here yet again. And I know I'm going to catch a lot of flame mail for this, and there's going to be a lot of dissension probably around this, because there are some fairly well-known and well-respected people in the industry involved with this. But nonetheless, I think that you'll see that this is not so much based on opinion as it is very pragmatic facts and analysis of just history and mathematics and logic and in some cases even legality. But if you're not familiar with this company or the portfolio concept, or you're not really interested in them or anything like that, I still highly recommend, though, that you listen to this show and really pay attention to it, because it if anything, it'll help you understand, should you come across these types of deals in the future, why you should probably avoid them, as well as how to dissuade your prospects and your downline from being distracted with deals like this. And, in other words, it's kind of how you can become your organization's MLM expert. I mean, you need to be kind of well-rounded and know a lot about what's going on in the industry that you're attempting to make a profession in. Because after all, if you're in this business, you're probably looking to eventually make enough to live off of your network marketing income, right? I mean, that's most people's primary goal when they start an MLM organization. Well, that means you've made a career choice here. I mean, this is how you're going to earn your living, hopefully, someday, if you're successful at it. So it's probably something you should really pay more attention to and really understand a lot kind of behind what we call MLM theory and history and things like that. In fact, here's a quote. This is directly from the Monotium documentation online. Okay, here's what they say. Quote, have you considered how difficult it is to pick a good MLM company? You might be unpleasantly surprised at just how hard it can be, especially since there are over 4,500 MLM companies currently operating. With this in mind, how can a person who's unfamiliar with the MLM industry possibly know which company to select? End quote. Well, how about this concept? Become familiar with the MLM industry, okay, with the profession you are attempting to make a living at. I mean, why is that unreasonable to think that you should do something to educate yourself about the business that you're in? So that's really what this is. So I hope you, again, we'll spend some time here and really kind of understand how this concept works and basically why it doesn't work. Now, Monotium's portfolio or umbrella concept generally works like this, and I'm going to give you a quick overview, then a quick little history of how portfolio programs have worked over the last at least 20 years, because this is not a new concept at all, as they say it is, and then we'll get into some very specifics dealing with Monotium. All right, now, the portfolio program kind of works like this. You build one organization in Monotium. It's a two-by matrix. It's basically, it's going to go into mostly binary plans. So it builds 2, 4, 8, 16. That's the structure that you build in Monotium, which they claim itself is not a network marketing company. They just orchestrate the structure. They sign everybody up. Then they go out and they review the industry and they pick some of the best companies, allegedly, and they put them into this portfolio, kind of like a mutual fund of MLM companies. And then once they've got that first company in there, they take the entire structure, all of those people that have joined Monotium, and the first month is free, so they can get a lot of people into the structure. It's $50 a month every month after that to administrate this whole thing, $49.97, actually. 3 cents less than 50, but I'm going to say $50. So that's what it costs, but the first month is free. So they put everybody in the structure, then they put them into the first network marketing company, and they say, now you have to at least buy this minimum product order, get on auto ship for usually about $50 a month, and get their products, and we'll all make this money. But then if something ever happens to this company, well, we can just take everybody intact in the exact same hierarchy and just plug them into another company. So we have the flexibility and the power to move this structure any place we want. So you're protected if that company goes out of business, or should they abandon network marketing and go retail, which has happened to a couple of companies recently. Not only that, but they'll actually add a second, a third, a fourth, and eventually even more companies to the portfolio and put everybody that's in the first company into the second company. And then that way, if everybody does their $50 a month auto ship or whatever it is, then you can make twice as much money. And you put them into three companies, you can make three times as much money. If one company goes out of business, well, you've got all of this protection. It's kind of like, you know, if you jump out of an airplane and you've only got one parachute and it doesn't open, you're in trouble. If you've got three or four parachutes, you've got a whole bunch of backups. Pretty safe assumption you're going to land safely. So that's this mutual fund kind of concept, the protection that it offers. Well, historically, and I'm only going to go back 20 years. I know these plans existed back in the 80s. Some people were around back then said they did. But in the time that I've been researching these companies and portfolio plans and things like that, here's what's happened. Now, none of this is necessarily going to apply to Monotium specifically. I'm giving you just kind of a brief overview of how portfolio programs have worked, you know, over the last 20 years. And this is based on an article that I wrote, which you can find at marketwaveinc.com in the article section. And the article is titled, Building in Multiple MLM Programs, A Gross Fallacy of Logic. Now, the rationalization for trying to build a downline in more than one MLM program usually includes the actual, quite factual statement that over 96% of all MLM companies fail eventually. Thus, it, you know, to diversify your efforts would be wise. You know, the dread of building a successful organization, only see it evaporate when the company's out of business or abandons MLM or whatever, and then you've lost all that income and you've got to start over. That can be pretty devastating. So let's apply this same logic to any other situation in our lives. Okay, since there's always the threat of being laid off from your job or your employer going out of business, you know, or you might be fired or something like that, let's work three or four full-time jobs at the same time. All right, let's diversify just to make sure we're protected. Or how about the high divorce rate? Over half of all marriages in this country end in failure, right? Well, let's marry five people. That way, if one relationship fails, we've got four others to hold our family together. Okay, let's take this to a logical extreme here. How about religion? There are dozens, if not hundreds, to choose from. So there is, allegedly, only one true path to God. But let's put our faith in Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, and all the other major religions, because that way we're sure we're going to be covered, right? Well, again, obviously all of these situations are absurd. They would make no sense, and in fact, they would all probably result in your complete and utter failure in achieving whatever security that you're looking for here. So again, anything else we apply this logic to doesn't make any sense. And the bottom line is because you simply can't give 100% to more than one thing. For every minute you're building one organization, you're not spending building another organization. So the idea that if you can make $1,000 in one MLM company, you can make $5,000 in five is a gross fallacy of logic. Now, some MLM portfolio promoters, like Monotium, for example, will tell you that, in fact, you are really only building one company. You're putting 100% of your efforts into one thing. That's what they'll claim. You're building just Monotium. Then they'll take care of where all these different companies are that they're going to plug all these people into. So you just focus on building Monotium. Of course, this always begs the question, well, what happens if something happens to Monotium? What happens if something happens to the portfolio program itself? It is a business unto itself. And, you know, what happens if something happens to them? Then there's no longer anyone orchestrating all of this and administering all of it, and you're right back in the same boat. But anyway, it's a rhetorical question. Actually, it's far more common to see MLM promoters promoting their downlines in each company in their portfolio on more of a serial basis rather than parallel. In other words, they get you to join company A, and then once your income has reached the point where it would at least pay for the qualifying order in Company B, they instruct you to join or automatically place you in Company B. Once your income in Company B is great enough to pay for your monthly qualifying order in Company C, then they place you into the third company, and so on. And of course, what you end up with is typically not a whole lot of money, but a whole bunch of a variety of companies' products stacking up in the garage. But again, that's historically. I'm still talking about just portfolio programs in the past. I'll get into specifics of Monotium here in a moment. Here's another kind of exploited illusion that portfolio programs in the past have kind of played up. And that's the whole concept that the whole is going to equal the sum of its parts. Okay. In reality, each MLM program will have their own separate quotas and qualifications, right? And the higher the sales volume, the greater and deeper the payout, right? So as you go up the different ranks, you know, tin, gold, diamond, whatever they are, all the way up, you need bigger downlines and bigger sales volume in your organization. Plus, there would be, substantially, of course, less attrition if you pulled all, let's say, 10,000 reps into one downline rather than 2,000 in five, since far more people would have an actual downline with sales volume. So you'd have less attrition. So five little downlines would very likely not earn you the same income as one big downline. Okay, depending on the qualifications and the types of compensation plans, you could potentially earn over twice the income by concentrating all 10,000 of those people into one organization, then dividing them up into five. Now again, getting back to Monotium, they'll say, well, no, that's not how we do it. Okay, we put everybody into everything. We put them, you build Monotium, that's what you focus on. Then we put everybody intact, the entire structure, into Company A. Then we put everybody into Company B, and we put everybody into Company C. So if you had 10,000 people in your Monotium downline, you would have 10,000 people in all three or four or five companies. However, it's not the number of people in your downline that counts. It's how many of them actually produce sales volume. So once you're in all of these companies, that's true. You have the same downline with the same number of people, but it's optional as to which one you actually buy product in. And how much sales volume is created. So really, we're still back in the same situation here. Are you going to get 10,000 people to be active in all five companies? Or will an average of, let's say, 2,000 be active in five different companies? Or maybe the first company, 8,000 might be, and the second one, 4,000, and the third, fourth, and fifth one, maybe a smaller amount or something like that. You're not going to get 100% activity in all of them. But let's get into some specifics here about some concerns about Monotium. That, again, that was just a kind of an overview of portfolio programs in the past, of which there have been many, and I'll get into more detail about who they were and things like that in a moment. Now, again, it's about $50 a month, $49.97. First month is free to get into Monotium. But they say this itself is not a multi-level marketing company. Now, they'll put you into a two-by matrix structure. You're going to pay $50 a month into it. They will pay what they call top enroller bonuses. They don't even hide the fact that it's a bonus for enrolling people. And these bonuses can be several thousand dollars. Okay, like a level one associate, well, they pay $49.97. A level two associate with one person sponsored in each of the binary legs and 25 in the enrollment tree. In other words, your entire unilevel structure, and they're all on $50 BV in at least one company. You're a level two associate. They go all the way, like level three, for example. You got to have eight personally sponsored people in Monotium, two in each leg, 100 in your sponsorship tree, and you got to be doing at least $50 or 50 BV, bonus volume, in at least two of their portfolio companies, member companies. And the level three diplomat, 25,000 in total group volume, sponsor 25, seven in each leg, minimum 5,000 in your tree, and 100 BV in six companies in the portfolio. So they've got their own qualification. You're in a 2x2 matrix. You pay money into it. If they've got your own qualification structure, and they're paying out bonuses of thousands of dollars. They have what they call an Ignite the Fire contest, where if you enroll five new free members, okay, you get an entry into the contest. Now, these are all people who must pay the $50 next month. Remember, the first month is free. So you get five people to sign up for free who all get dinged for the $49.97 in their second month, and then by random chance, they'll pull a name out of a hat of all the people that got an entry for doing that, and these bonuses can be anywhere from $700 to as much as $12,000. Now, besides the contest and lottery and raffle laws that might apply here, which I'm not that familiar with, so I'm not going to comment on it. I just know they exist. How is this not an MLM company? You're in a 2x2 binary structure. You pay $50 in, and all these bonuses get paid out based on how many people you sponsor and how much volume you create and all the ranks you achieve. but they claim itself is not an MLM company. So in other words, it essentially is a network marketing opportunity where you are getting paid for nothing more than the act of recruiting people into it. There is no other product involved other than the administration of the portfolio. So I would have some serious concerns here as to whether or not this is an actual network marketing company unto itself. Now, here, when I'm talking about legalities, I've got to mention just for a moment that they do promote one very well-known network marketing attorney as being a promoter of this program. So I'm assuming that that attorney is the one that they've hired to review it. That attorney is someone that I've had a conversation with, and I know for a fact that he honestly believes that the Federal Trade Commission requires that 50% of all sales be made to non-distributor customers for you to be a legal network marketing company as opposed to a legal pyramid. He's based this on some legal precedent where the FTC has told various companies like Five Star Auto Club and Jewelway and companies like that in the past that for the temporary restraining order to be lifted and for you to get back in business, you've got to agree to sell 50% of your product to non-distributors. So, well, that must be the FTC's criteria. Well, here's the thing. That did cause some confusion a few years ago, and people thought, well, if that's true, then pretty much all MLM companies might be pyramids because a lot of their customers are the distributors themselves. So the DSA asked the FTC for guidance on this. The FTC responded with a letter, which is posted in the research section of the MarketWaveInc.com website. And here's what the FTC said, that these were exceptionally bad players in the space, and we sort of threw the book at them. I'm paraphrasing, but they said we threw the book at them and made them operate under exceptionally difficult conditions once they were allowed back in business. But this whole issue of 50% of the product being sold to non-distributors, it is not indicative of the current state of the law and does not apply to anyone else. They say this in black and white, right in the letter. They also go on to say that what they go by more is the motive for buying the product, not what percentage of your distributors are buying it. They don't care that 50% of your volume is going to distributors or 40% or 10% or whatever. What's the motive? Are you buying the product because you actually want it? And you would have bought it anyway, even if there were no income opportunity? Or are you buying this product? Are you paying this money into the program as a token act simply to meet a quota in the compensation plan, to participate in the income opportunity? That's what they look for. And again, that letter is right there. It's in black and white. This particular attorney, during our conversation when I brought this up, was completely unaware of this letter and the FTC's position, but yet still continued to argue that the FTC does require that 50% of the sales go to non-distributors. Ironically, that is the attorney that's promoting Monotium. And it's not only ironic in the sense that this $50 is going into this 2x structure and bonuses are being paid out on it from nothing more than just recruiting people into the structure with no one outside the income opportunity participating, but it gets worse. And I'll get to that in a moment because I don't want to get off on too many tangents here. But there's another legal angle here that I'm going to address in a moment that makes this all the more ironic. But let me jump to what the member companies in this portfolio must agree to do. Now, in the past, in most of these portfolio deals, they just go to a company and say, hey, look, you know, we've got 10,000 people in this structure. Can we plug them all into your company and have them buy your products? And they say, yeah, welcome aboard. Well, here, this is a little bit different in that the companies that agree to be part of this portfolio basically have to agree to give up a great amount of control of those distributors. In fact, really, as I go through these, and I'll give you some of the highlights here, the company pretty much has to agree to be neutered and made impotent in as far as the controlling of their distributors. Here's what I mean by this. First of all, the member companies must agree to waive their enrollment fees. So if they got a $25 application fee or an annual renewal fee, they've got to agree to waive that for Monotium distributors, and that can be a major revenue source for a lot of network marketing companies. And that's how they basically pay for the administration of these distributors and the technology for their back offices and things like that. They've got to agree that the monthly website fee be waived. Monotium distributors cannot be charged for that. Probably this is all done so Monotium can charge them the $50. Because the Monotium, by the way, they have their own $50 annual renewal fee. So they all goes to Monotium. There's other items on a per company basis as far as what fees may be waived. So companies got to agree to give up all of this revenue to allow them, all these distributors, to come in. Associates may activate their Monotium preferred business center positioning within company genealogy in one of two following ways. Okay, so here's how an associate can activate their Monotium, what they call preferred business center, in the company genealogy. Enroll with a low-cost initial purchase and activate a reoccurring auto-ship order, or enroll with company's Fast Start Pack and activate monthly auto-ship. That's it. That's how you have to activate in the companies that they put into their portfolio. Either an initial order and get on auto-ship, you know, of whatever you want, or buy the company's Fast Start Pack that they've already pre-designed and then get on auto-ship. First of all, this is a required auto-ship. What is the motive for buying the product here? I mean, aren't these companies essentially loading up with distributors who are making a purchase to participate in the income opportunity? I mean, how can they possibly argue that these distributors are getting into these companies because they genuinely want the product when they didn't even know what the products were they were going to have to buy when they joined Monotium? I mean, three of the four companies in their portfolio right now didn't even get added to the portfolio until just within the last couple of weeks, after thousands of people supposedly had already joined Monotium. I mean, they're buying these products because they are being told, this is the company that we just put into our portfolio. These are the products you have to buy to participate in the income opportunity. Not only that, but in every legal MLM company, and any MLM attorney will tell you this, you have to allow sales to outside distributors to meet your monthly quota. If they've got 100 BV personal volume, you've got to meet every month. You've got to meet that by your own personal purchases of products you would have purchased anyway that have genuine value that you actually want, again, going to motive, or products you've sold to customers. Sales to others has to count towards your monthly quota. How can that be done if they're requiring you to be on auto-ship? If it means they're requiring you to buy the requisite amount of product every month that you need to qualify in these programs. There is no sales to others. In fact, they even brag about the fact you don't have to retail in these deals. You just buy the product that you need, and you buy the products we tell you to buy from the programs we put into the portfolio. You don't have to buy them. You could just not participate in that company. But if you do want to, you've got to make this token purchase of whatever companies they put in, whatever products they're selling. There's no way they can possibly make an argument to any state or federal regulator that these people are buying the product because they actually want them. The motive is they would have bought them anyway when they're forcing them to purchase those products to meet their quota. I mean, that is a huge legal red flag. Now, Monotium associates shall be permitted to participate in other business opportunities. Of course, they would have to do that because they're in a portfolio program. The company in the portfolio unconditionally and irrevocably waives any and all non-compete provisions contained within their policies that conflict with this section. So companies out there, which are most of them, that say you can't join another MLM company that's selling the same kind of products as us and try to cross-promote or anything like that, well, here you've got to completely wipe that out. So not only is it obviously protecting Monotium distributors because they're going to be in more than one company, but Monotium distributors now essentially would have the right to cross-recruit that company's distributors into another company because they're saying that they've got to waive this entire section of their policy, including what it's legitimately trying to protect distributors from. I'll go on. Company agrees to waive any structured time frame restriction or qualification period for attaining leadership ranks for Monotium associates. I mean, this would likely require, in some companies, a reprogramming of the pay plan. Or ongoing manual manipulation of it. In other words, they're essentially saying you've got to change the qualifications in your comp plan just for us. I wonder what the existing distributors in these companies would think about that. Monotium requires an IT manager, okay, a technology guy, be available to them 24/7. They go on to say a company agrees, the company that enters their portfolio, they've got to agree to not pursue any compliance action against any Monotium associate without first supplying written notification to Monotium. The company agrees to also first discuss with and secure the prior written approval of Monotium before taking any disciplinary measures against the associate. Okay, if in Monotium's opinion that they were not rightfully terminated, or they Monotium believes that the evidence presented does not establish wrongdoing, or if the wrongdoing is established but Monotium believes the level of requested discipline to be unreasonable, the company agrees to only discipline associates at the level agreed to by Monotium. Monotium has now full control over the discipline and termination of that company's distributors. They can't terminate their own distributors now without getting Monotium's permission. Think about this. What strong, stable company would ever allow themselves to be what I described as neutered like this? Okay, now understand, Monotium has their own terms and conditions. That's what they call them. Okay, would cite various forms of violations. But curiously, they offer no guidance at all as to what repercussions there are for such violations. So Monotium has their own policies and procedures. They tell you all the stuff you're not supposed to violate, but they don't mention anything about what happens if you violate them. If a company changes any aspect of its compensation plan that in any manner takes away benefits, that's their words, or income from its distributors, Monotium at its sole discretion has the right to discontinue referring Monotium associates to that company. Now, wait a minute. What about shifting the plan's weighting? Like, so for example, you shift it from the back end more towards the middle or front of the plan. So the leaders take a pay cut, but the majority of distributors get a pay raise. I mean, almost every change in a compensation plan involves a shifting of its weighting. Somebody makes more, somebody makes less. So overall, more distributors make more, but the top earners might make less. Does that mean that suddenly they can just can this company from their portfolio? That apparently, the way this is written, it does. What about reducing the payout in lieu of, say, lower product prices, you know, or higher costs? The company's overhead is increasing, so they want to lower the payout a little bit to make the company remain viable. This company now is in jeopardy of Monotium saying, we're cutting you off if they do these kind of things. The company no longer has that ability to freely do these things without there being repercussions. You know, this day-to-day manipulation of their financial structure in some way to stay in business and to stay profitable. Overall, how does a company enforce one set of rules for their current existing, perhaps, you know, founding distributors, but then tell them all that all these new folks that are coming in from this portfolio deal are operating under different rules? They don't have to pay for their back office or any renewal fees. They can't be terminated or sanctioned without permission. You know, I mean, what do the existing distributors feel like when they get when they discover this? I mean, how desperate does a company have to be to give up this much power? Now, there's a document on their website that says how it works. Now, in this document, and again, I'm quoting, but I'm kind of, you know, if I were to write this out, you might see an ellipsis or two in here somewhere. But they say this: instead of finding a company and then struggling to build your team, we first help you build your team. After your team has reached a size which would be profitable, and then they say, parenthetically, the average is immediate to 4 weeks. That's the average of how long it takes for you to be profitable. And then go on to say, you insert your team structure into one or all of Monotium's outside MLM companies. Here is the greatest flaw in the MLM portfolio logic, and it applies absolutely to Monotium. Think about this again. Instead of finding a company that and then struggling to build your team, like, you know, we've all been doing for the last 76 years, millions of us, they go on to say, we first help you build your team in Monotium. After your team has reached a size when you would be profitable, so there's enough volume in your downline to where you would have be profitable if all these people would join the company with you and buy product, then you all get inserted into the first company. Now, wait a minute. This also assumes, though, that they're all going to also buy the $50 a month in product for this company. But why would those in your downline agree to do that unless they've also reached the point of profitability? And how can everyone in your downline have reached the point of profitability? In other words, the moment you first reach the point of would-be profitability, if everybody joins you in orders, the people on your first level technically would not be there yet. That exact moment when you reach it, they wouldn't be there yet. But even if the first two or three levels of your downline are, the bottom at least two-thirds are not there yet. So this is all hypothetical. I mean, you move everybody in. If hypothetically they all ordered, you would be in profit. But why would all those people, again, in like surely the bottom half, well, they haven't reached that criteria yet, so they're not going to order anything. And then the people above them would go, well, they're not ordering anything, so I'm not going to order anything, and then you don't make any money. So, I mean, this assumes, the way they describe this over and over in the Monotium literature, it assumes everyone's going to suddenly buy product, including all those people that aren't in profit yet. Okay, they go on to say, and I'm quoting here, the fast start bonus in each company will easily allow you and your team to recoup the enrollment cost. so no real financial expense will be incurred upon enrolling in a new company. In short, you're in a positive cash flow from each MLM company day one. Now, first of all, this is a blatant declaration that you all just buy the initial product package to make money, not because you want the products. They've just declared it. But besides that, again, it assumes those people in your downline are going to buy these Fast Start packages too, even though they haven't reached the point of profitability yet. And how can they assume everyone's going to do this? How can you assume mathematically everyone would be in profit from the bottom up? And how come more people aren't questioning this gross flaw in their mathematical logic here? I'm going to continue to quote. If you are a $10,000 monthly residual earner, then you'll at least quadruple yourself to a $40,000 monthly income if you build the same size team within Moniteam's platform and have positioned that team in just four outside MLM companies. So if you can make $10,000 in one, you're going to make $40,000 by having them put them all in four. This is the same false logic. Okay, above they said you would move into the first or next company, quote, after your team has reached the size which would be profitable, end quote. That's when, quote, you insert your team structure into one or all of Moniteam's outside companies, end quote. So this $10,000 to $40,000 scenario assumes that everyone has met this condition. And again, how is it logically, mathematically possible? For you to quadruple your $10,000, hundreds of people would have to agree to buy products in all of these companies and quadruple their losses. All those people down near the bottom, or at least the whole bottom half, they've got to come along with you, not in profitability yet, and buy all these products and essentially increase their expenses, increase their losses, for this scenario to hold true. There's another document here called Experienced in MLM. Okay, this is for people that are more knowledgeable about the MLM industry. They quote, whether you realize it or not, current MLM industry polling confirms that more than 65% of network marketers are actively participating in up to three MLM companies at the same time, and that's expected to increase to over 90% by 2012. I don't think they're deliberately playing semantic games here when they say up to three, because that would count three. That would count two, and technically it would count all those people who are in one company. So when they say polling confirms that 65% of network marketers are actively participating in up to three, that would mean 65% are in one, two, or three. So 35% are in four or more. So I think what they actually mean there is 65% are in two or three. In other words, they're doing more than one. That's the point they're trying to make. And this is going to be up to 90% by 2012. Well, first of all, I don't know what polling they're talking about, because I've actually done a meta-analysis of a lot of industry polling. MLM Insider has done polling. Network Marketing Business Journal has done polling. In fact, I just asked them for some of their recent results, what they gave me. MarketWave has been doing polling on this very question for over 20 years. I've got over 7,400 responses. I've got over 500 responses from just the last couple of years, because I always keep it fresh. You can go to MarketWaveInc.com. Participate in the survey. You can get all the results. You can see the question there. 76% of you are participating in one company. Now, some are participating in more to buy their products. That's not the question. That was a different question. Participating to build an income in. 76% are in one company. 13% are in two. Many of them, by the way, have a primary and secondary company where the secondary company complements the primary company. Like the secondary company is a lead generation company, a training company, you know, a send out cards company or something like that that they're using to build their primary program. And 4% are in three or more. By the way, 7% of distributors claim that they're not in a company to build a downline at all. They're only in it to buy products. That's how it goes up to 100%. By the way, previously, and this goes back to the late 90s, actually around 2000 when I wrote my book, Inside Network Marketing, it was 55% were in one company, trying to build a downline in one company, 19% were in two, 26% were in three or more. Again, that was over 10 years ago. Now it's 76% are in one, 13% in two, 4% three or more. In other words, it's going exactly the opposite direction, very quickly, than what Moniteam claims, because they say it's going to be 90% by 2012, and the 65% are participating in more than one. I can't find any poll anywhere that suggests this, and every poll I have completely contradicts this. The industry is getting it. Yeah, multiple streams of income is great. MLM being one, real estate being another, something else being another. But in MLM, you focus on one company. If you look throughout MLM history at the most successful distributors of all time, they have one thing in common: a laser beam focus on one company for a long period of time. Think about it. Look at all the greatest success stories out there. How many of them made that money in several companies at once? Now, there are rare exceptions where people have done this on a serial basis, where they build one giant downline, walk away from it, retire, start over from scratch with another company, leaving their original downline intact, and they build another one. But that is very, very rare. But nobody simultaneously joins a bunch of companies at once and builds a big downline. I'll address this again in a minute because I'm kind of getting off on a tangent. But the point is, their data is wrong. I mean, it's verifiably, factually, mathematically wrong. The industry is not moving towards pursuing multiple MLM companies at the same time. It's actually going against what Montetium is espousing here. And by the way, the Network Marketing Business Journal, 12% are in three or more within the immediate family. And they also count product buyers. So they're counting a husband and wife in separate companies as being two, and people that are just buying the product because they want the product. And still, it's only 12% are in three or more. So again, it's just not happening. Okay, I'm going to quote some more here from their literature. And by the way, I kind of addressed this a little bit earlier. I said, you know, they talk about, have you ever considered how difficult it is to pick a good MLM company? Okay, there's over 4,500 out there. By the way, I think their estimate is too high. Most estimates will come in at somewhere between 800 and 2,200. But then they talk about, how can a person who's unfamiliar with the MLM industry possibly know which companies to select? And my suggestion was, well, become familiar with your industry that you're about to make a living in. You know, what a concept. But then they go on to say, who has the better compensation plan, product, or training materials? Which company will be in business 5 years from now? These are all serious questions that you need to have answered. This is where Montetium's leadership team and advisory board, with well over 300 years of combined experience, will go to work for you. Montetium's group of industry experts know what to look for and carefully screen all potential outside MLM companies to ensure that our associates have the best possible MLM opportunities to select from. The emphasis was mine. All potential outside MLM companies. No, they don't. Of all the MLM companies out there, of this 2,200, which they say 4,500, of all the potential companies that could join this, here's the first cut. Okay, they eliminate all those companies from consideration that don't have a binary compensation plan, because they build it in a 2x2 structure. They can't have you build in a 2x2 structure and then suddenly deconstruct that into a width-oriented unilevel or breakaway plan. So right away, you've got to eliminate unilevels and breakaways. Now, technically, they could keep the 2x2 structure in a unilevel and breakaway, but it wouldn't work because they pay a finite number of levels down, and you don't want all that volume flooding beyond the pay range of the plan. I mean, it's completely opposite building philosophy. And sure enough, the four companies, which I'll get to in a minute, are in fact all binary companies. They fit perfectly with the 2x2 structure. So right there, over 50% of the potential companies out there, you've got to eliminate because they're not binary companies. Here's the second cut: all duplicate product lines. Now, about 50%, at least, are selling nutritional juices or drinks. Now, why would you add more than one juice company? Now, they have, but I'll get to that in a minute. But certainly, you wouldn't have a third jungle juice company or energy drink company in the portfolio. There'd just be redundant products. So once you've selected one of each type of product, you've eliminated all the other types of products or all the other companies out there that have that type of product. I mean, surely you can't say, go on auto ship for, you know, five different juice drinks, right? So again, you can't have all these redundancies in your product offering. Here's the third cut. All of those who don't accept their overbearing, overriding, kind of ridiculous policies that you have to abide by to be part of the Montetium portfolio, which I would have to believe would be the vast majority of MLM companies out there. Now, by the way, I've mentioned this to several owners of MLM companies that I know as friends. One's a fairly small company, kind of up and coming. Another one is a very large, substantial company, the first two that I asked. And both of them said that, in fact, Montetium has asked them, has proposed, you know, joining their portfolio. Both of them said, we declined because they didn't want to agree to those. I mean, who wouldn't want to have all those distributors suddenly join and make money, if you know, create all this additional volume? The reason for declining is because they didn't want to agree to those policies, to give up all of that control. So, in other words, if you take all the potential companies, eliminate all the ones that aren't binaries, all the ones that have duplicate products to what's already in your portfolio, and all the ones that will not agree to these restrictive policies, you're probably talking about a pool of MLM companies that represent a single-digit percentage of all the MLM companies out there. That's who they're actually selecting from. Now, maybe the other two might be subjective, the last two cuts, but surely we got to eliminate all the ones that aren't binaries. So again, there's no way that they're looking at all the companies out there and picking the best of the best. They're picking the very best of the very few that are still left after all of this has been rendered down. Not only that, but if there's all of these experts, and they tout some that are very well known, that have been around the industry for years. I know of at least one they tout that has testified as an expert in jury trials on network marketing. Well, how can all of these experts make statements like this? And this comes directly from the Monetium corporate literature. I'm quoting, "The number one profession that people are turning to worldwide during this economic downturn is network marketing, and they're doing so in record-breaking numbers. In the United States alone, nearly 175,000 people per week are joining the industry and are responsible for over $30 billion in yearly sales." End quote. That paragraph is wrong on multiple levels. Slight pun intended. Okay, let's take this paragraph and break it down. According to the Direct Selling Association, the DSA, back in 2006, there were 15.2 million salespeople in the direct selling industry in the United States, which is interesting because a couple of years ago they were citing it was 15.3 million in 2006. So for some reason they've dropped that number for 06 just in the last couple of years. But anyway, 15.2 million is what they're claiming now. 15 million in 2007. When the bad economy kicked in, we actually went down for the first time in pretty much the history of tracking these numbers. 2008, a little uptick to 15.1 million again, but still not all the way back to 2006 numbers. But then in 2009, the last year they report, 16.1 million salespeople. So technically their claim that that's record-breaking could be true, except again, these are total salespeople. Two problems with this. First of all, this is the total estimated number of salespeople that the DSA derives this number from by asking a whole bunch of different member companies, how many total distributors do you have at the end of the year? So they're counting many of these distributors more than once, not because of that 14% that are in more than one company, but certainly that's one reason, but because of how many distributors quit an MLM business and then join another MLM business. Actually, very few people quit network marketing. They quit a company and join another company. So if you join in January and quit in February and join another company in March, you paid for an annual distributorship. So both of those companies still have you as having a distributorship in that company. You may not be active for compensation, but until your annual renewal date comes around and you don't renew, you're getting counted twice. If you quit that company in June and join another company in July and quit in that company in November and join another company in December, all four of those companies are going to be counting you as a distributor at the end of that year. Maybe not, again, active qualifying for commissions, but you're going to be on the books for all four of those companies. So if you render this number down to the actual number of individual active distributors, it's probably closer to maybe around 9 million. But these are counting how many total distributorships there are out there, not individual active distributors. Secondly, the number of sales in the direct selling industry over the last 3 years has dropped 3 years in a row. 2006 was a little over 32 billion. 2007 was about 31 billion. 2008, 29.8 billion. And last year was 28.3 billion. And it's sales volume that really counts here. So no, it wasn't 30 billion. It was close, but it's not 30 billion. And we're actually dropping. So more distributors, but they're buying a lot less stuff. Again, probably because of the economy. But again, you would think that all these experts with 300 combined years of experience would have known this. And you also would think that at some point they would have taken this 15.1 million figure, which is what they cite, again, at 16.1 million now, and this 30 billion in sales figure, and somebody would have brought up out a pocket calculator and divided those two numbers together and then divided by 12. Okay, if we have 15.1 million distributors doing 30 billion in sales, that would mean every single one of those distributors are averaging $165 a month in volume. you'd have to have 100% activity rate, and pretty much all of them would have to be at the maximum qualification level in their plan for most companies. Is no one suspecting that we don't have 15 or 16 million people all doing $160 to $170 a month in volume? That, you know, surely at least half of those people at any given moment are probably buying nothing? That one or two of those numbers, surely at least one of them's got to be wrong? And by the way, if you render that number down to the more truer number of around 9 million, 9.5 million active individual distributors and divide that into 30 billion or even 28 billion, it gets even worse.
Yeah, they're averaging over $250 a month in volume, every one of them, so something is definitely wrong with this picture.
Now, I want to spend a moment talking about the four companies that have joined at this current moment the Monotium portfolio, that have agreed to all of those policies and procedure restrictions and so forth. But I want to make sure you understand, I am in no way making any kind of indictment about these companies. I said earlier, you know, I said, well, how desperate would the company have to be to agree to this? I simply cited the facts as to what they have to agree to, historically, you know, how these systems work long-term, what the motives would be for them buying those products, and what possible legal vulnerabilities. Those are all facts. I mean, just look out there. You can see what the precedent is. You can see what the FTC says. You can understand the logic of it. So draw your own conclusions. But having said that, if I look back in my, around 2003, when I tried to start a network marketing company, and I think about 3 o'clock in the morning thinking, should I withdraw another $20,000 out of my equity line of credit on my home to cover our next pay run? If somebody came along and said, here's a few thousand distributors that will agree to buy your product, I might make some concessions. I can see the position that some companies might be in. We're like, you know what, let's just see how this goes. Let's give it a shot. Yeah, we're giving up a lot of control here, but let's see how willing Monotium is to allow us to terminate distributors that should be rightfully terminated, and let's see how much of a difference there is in what we think they should, what sanctions we think should be involved in what they do. Let's not assume that we're going to give up a lot of control. Let's find out. That's a very viable option for a company that, you know, needs a little boost. So again, I can see both sides of it here. You know, I've been in that camp where if somebody came along and said, hey, here's 5,000 distributors, are all going to go jump in and buy your product, this is what you got to give up, yeah, give it a shot. So again, I'm not a mind reader. I don't know what the motive was for these companies getting involved. But again, strictly from the standpoint of Monotium and their alleged picking of all the best companies out there from within the industry, here's the ones they've chose. The first one's Wow Green, which is a binary. They charge $25 a year, and they've chosen to give that up to Monotium distributors. They sell household cleaning products. Now, the only issue I have with this company is what they call their first order enroller bonus. Now, anytime a company calls a bonus an enroller bonus, like they just flat out wave a big red flag and say, this is a bonus for recruiting people, you know, that's always a concern. And they actually describe it as, I'm quoting, earn a bonus equal to $25 to $50 every time someone you have personally enrolled as a distributor purchases a Green Starter Pack, and $50 to $100 every time someone you have personally enrolled as a distributor purchases a Green Action Pack. I mean, they're flat out admitting that you're getting paid for people being recruited and for what they buy, as opposed to sales volume created by sales to outside customers. You get a bonus only when you recruit a new distributor and only when they personally buy the product. But again, it fits right in with the Monotium model. that certainly jives there. So, but otherwise, I've actually, you know, decent comp plan. Looks like they've got great products. I got no other issue with this company. The next company is one called Sozo, S-O-Z-O. Sozo Life, that's their full name. It's a binary. $39 per year is what they're giving up. They sell what I effectively refer to as a jungle juice. Now, again, people get mad at me when I say that. The last two companies I've been involved in have sold a jungle juice, including my own. I got no problem with nutritional, functional, exotic beverages or whatever you want to call them. That's just the name I call them. So whatever, they sell a juice, and they sell an energy drink, and they sell a coffee product. And they also go on to say that active distributors with at least 200 personal volume earn a 20% bonus on every personally sponsored distributor's first order. Again, same thing. On recruiting people on the product they buy, you get a bonus on that. So again, fits perfect with the Monotium model.
I also found out that it was curious when I saw this company. I kind of gave them a quick little overview on their website. I saw that Larry Cantrell was the founder and CEO, and I remember thinking, like, wait a minute, isn't he the founder and CEO of Integris Global? So I went over to the Integris Global website, and sure enough, they're still in business, and they're still saying he's the founder and CEO. But I will say this: Larry actually was very prompt to respond, and was very clear, and I really appreciate that. I mean, he really cleared it up in that Integris has been around for many, many years, I think like 13, 14 years or something, and SozoLife Global, it was launched in 2009, and they are essentially absorbing or they have purchased Integris. So one company is now a division of the other. They're not competing companies with the same owner. And Integris mostly is just retail customers now, too, not a lot of builders. So, again, that explains that, and I appreciate that he was very prompt in providing that information. And again, good comp plan. Looks like they've got very good products. No other problem other than the fact that you get paid for recruiting people on the product that they purchase. XFuse is the next company that they've added. It's also a binary. They're giving up $35 annual renewal fee to every one of their distributors. So the Monotium distributors don't have to pay that. They also sell a jungle juice and an energy drink. So now we've got two companies selling a jungle juice and an energy drink. Well, now with Sozo, it looks, though, like they're really pushing the coffee product. So it's not really redundant. It's redundant, but it's, one, you can just get the energy drink and the juice from one, get the coffee from the other. However, in XFuse, they say you are eligible for the Fast Start bonus each time a new distributor that you sponsor purchases one of the optional upgrade packages. There is no limit to the number of fast starts you may potentially earn. However, there is a purchase limit of one upgrade pack per distributor. So again, three companies in a row are outright declaring that you make money by the act of recruiting someone based on the products they buy, those distributors themselves buy. So again, this is probably why they fit so well with the Monotium model. Then the fourth company, and by the way, again, XFuse, looks like they got good products, good comp plan, no other problem with any of these companies other than the fact that, for some reason, they felt motivated to be involved with Monotium. Smart Media. This is a technology company that offers a lot of training. It's a binary. They charge $1 per commission cycle, which means up to potentially $52 per year, probably an average of roughly maybe $20, but that's what they're giving up. And this is computer education, like I said. Smart Media Technologies has three rep starting packages at $125, $200, or $400. They go on to claim a generous direct bonus is paid to the sponsor on each of these packages. A basic rep is someone who has purchased the $125 package. A standard rep all the way up to the super rep is someone who has purchased a $400 package. So these are representatives, they're distributors, who've purchased the package, not anyone who's sold it to someone outside of the compensation plan. Besides these upfront packages, there's a $30 monthly subscription, so another $360 annually. Now, again, considering the attorney that is representing them at least as a spokesperson and an endorser, and his belief that 50% of all the product must be sold to outside customers who are not participating in the income opportunity, why is there no issue with the fact that all four of the companies in their portfolio are outright telling you that your upfront money comes from purchases by new distributors that you've just recruited, with no mention of any outside sales to anybody? But again, by the way, Smart Media actually looks like they've got some pretty cool products. So again, no problem with the company, the plan, the product offering. I've done computer training in the past, so I know these prices actually are very reasonable for very good training, assuming it is good training. I can't judge that, but no reason to believe it isn't. So again, no other problem with any of these companies other than just what I stated. Now, they also say that one of the great benefits of this particular portfolio of companies is that it promotes transfer buying. Stuff you're going to buy at the store anyway. So it's easier to buy it because it's already on your shopping list. Really? Computer training? These expensive $35 bottles of jungle juice? If it's on your shopping list, it's probably for something more closer to, $8 or $10 or $12. Now, coffee certainly can be, although this is somewhat of a more exotic type of a health coffee. WildGreen definitely has some transfer buying products, but for the most part, there really isn't a lot of transfer buying products here. So I'm not really sure how that applies yet and what companies are they going to add to this portfolio where that really is going to exist, because again, they're kind of running out of new niches to hit here. The main concern I have here before I kind of wrap this up with what's really going to get me in trouble, which you'll see in a minute, there's just no product affinity here. There's no ability to meet qualifications by retailing. They openly promote that you don't have to learn about the products. I mean, that's a selling pitch with Monotium. With all these other companies, you got to learn all about their products and all the technical stuff and the science behind them and all that. Well, yeah, because that's the product you're in the business of selling. That's what keeps you legal, selling that product to people that actually want the product, and you got to know about the product to do that. Here, they openly promote the fact that you don't have to do that because you're just buying the products we tell you to buy from the companies that are in our portfolio. This is a huge concern here. In the How It Works document, again, I'm quoting, the only way to increase your current MLM income is to increase the size of your team in any given company, which takes a lot of effort, end quote. That is absolutely not true. The only way to increase your income is to increase the size of your team's sales volume, not the size of your team. They go on to say, your first major step in securing long-term financial success is to stop fixating on any one MLM company or their products and start focusing on your business. So again, they admit it. Don't worry about the products. Those are pretty much secondary to this whole income opportunity. I'm quoting again. You'll only be representing one company, Monotium. You'll never need to talk or worry about who has the best compensation plan, vitamins, lotions, juice, weight loss products, etc., end quote. So again, there isn't even any love for that particular company. It's you're just in it because it's part of the portfolio. As opposed to someone who's in their company, like there are people out there that are in USANA, that are in Herbalife, that are in Zengo, that are in, I can go on and on and on, and they are passionate, sometimes to a fault, about not just their product, but their entire opportunity. I mean, they're so devoted to it, and those are, by the way, the most successful distributors. They literally fall in love with their network marketing company, with the entire culture, with the people, and with the products. That's what has bred all of this success in the industry. And here they're telling you to eliminate all of that from the equation. Quote, you need to remember that you alone and not one particular MLM company must remain the focus here. You are the real product that's being sold here, which is then followed by the MLM company's product. Many new MLM home-based entrepreneurs get this backwards and lose their own identity as a business owner because they're too busy promoting a particular MLM company or product, end quote. Now again, this isn't renegade distributors producing this stuff. This is coming off the main Monotium website. This is corporate produced material. And they're openly admitting the product is secondary, which would make pretty much any good MLM attorney out there just shudder. What about this factor? Some of Monotium's people will already be a part of the company that Monotium's just added to their portfolio. Then what happens? In fact, right now this probably hasn't happened a lot because they've added four relatively young or small companies. But can you imagine if they were to add someone like a Mona V or a Zengo or a USANA or an Herbalife? I mean, not that those companies would ever agree to do that, but the point is, what if they did? How many dozens or hundreds or possibly even thousands of Monotium distributors are already in those companies and now have to violate their own company's policies and procedures to be in a second position in the same company, or they can't participate? So it's almost like Monotium's got to make a point of not finding really large, already successful companies, which leaves them the very companies that they're trying to protect you from, the smaller, more vulnerable companies. Here's some of the scare tactics that they use to try to convince you that this is the concept that's going to like take over the industry. Quote, you may still think you actually own your MLM business, but think again. Your most valuable asset is controlled by the ownership of the MLM company. And I'm going to stop quoting here. How is Monotium different? I mean, you have no choice as to what company you and your downline even go into. You actually have less control here. Okay, you can't even control what company you're in. Okay, I'm quoting again. At any point, because of their policies and procedures that you signed, access to your most valuable asset can be taken away from you with no prior notice. Hard to believe? It shouldn't be, especially since it happens far too often, end quote. No, it doesn't. Okay, this is a scare tactic to make you think that it's this is pandemic throughout the industry, that distributors are being wrongfully terminated and companies are just dropping the MLM concept all over the place, leaving people high and dry. These are exceptions. They're actually very, very rare. There are thousands of companies out there operating. I can think of three, one arguable, but two, maybe three in the last 5 years that just said, we're staying in business, but we're dropping MLM. That's actually very, very rare. And most of the distributors that are terminated are rightfully terminated if you hear both sides of the story. I mean, there's one very prominent person who was terminated from a very large company that allegedly was the impetus for a distributor trade association being launched because of this guy's situation. Well, I actually called the company and even talked to this guy personally, got both sides of the story, and ended up never being more convinced he was rightfully terminated. And he even admitted to being warned formally in writing 6 times before he was finally terminated from his company. So again, if you're both sides of the story, you'll find most quote-unquote wrongful terminations are not wrongful terminations. Some are, absolutely, but they're very, very rare. And they're usually not the larger, more successful distributors. MLM companies don't want their leaders leaving and moving to other companies because a lot of people follow them. They don't save money in commissions they're not paying anymore. They lose way more from the mass amount of sales volume that leaves with them. Terminations of top distributors are last resorts. Okay, there's usually a pretty good reason for it. So again, this is not a common thing. It's being grossly overblown here as an attempt to scare you into thinking, oh, I need to be part of this to get protection because my company could just pull the rug out from under me at any moment. And by the way, with no prior notice, even amongst the times this does happen, it's very rare amongst those times that you don't have some type of notice. We are not warned in some way. So again, it's very rare, even when there are terminations, that there's no prior notice. Let's get into this here, because there's so much more I can talk about, but I got to get to a couple of major points. Past portfolio programs. I said this is not a new concept. Now, Monetium says, quote, it's time to embrace a new way of winning in this great industry, end quote. Another quote. We've created an entirely new approach to generating significant wealth within the MLM industry, end quote. I will say this for them. They definitely have a much more elaborate system. The technology involved, the training, the look of the website and everything, it's much greater than any other portfolio program I've ever seen, especially since most of them occurred back in the early to mid-90s when the internet wasn't that prevalent. But again, if you've got a four-cylinder engine that's missing one spark plug, I don't care how great the chassis and the body and all the technology you apply to that car, it's probably not going to run very well or for very long. I mean, they've got one here it's dressed up very, very nicely, and they've really got some great technology. No question about that. The look and feel of it and the training that's offered and things like that is top-notch. Kudos to them for that. But the idea that this concept is somehow new or revolutionary or inventive in some way, I mean, just off the top of my head, and I didn't even do any research in this. I wrote them down here, but I just remember thinking from memory, I could come up with 7 portfolio programs, major ones, from back in the 90s. One was called Secure Independence, another one, the MLM Alliance, another one called Assurance Network, and actually did dig up some old literature on them. And these, they had color newsletters and very elaborate systems. Again, not as much as far as the technology online, but these were very well-funded systems, and some of them even lasted a few years before ultimately they all failed, and for all the exact same reason. And the bottom line it comes down to, yes, in theory, you'll make more money being in more companies if all of your downline orders too, but they won't, because think about it from the bottom up. Those people at the bottom that get moved into the new company aren't in profit yet, so they don't order. The people above them then aren't in profit, so they don't order, and it goes all the way back up. It's what's called the window shade effect, where you pull a window shade down, you let go of it, and it flips right back up again. That's going to come into play here and again in a second too, that window shade effect. There's also a lifetime downline, a Portfolio International, page one, and one called, it was called Bossit something. I don't remember the entire name. And I know there were many, many more. But again, there was a whole flurry of portfolio or umbrella programs based on this same concept. We build it all in this one deal, in the portfolio deal. We go search and find a bunch of companies that we think are really good to put in the portfolio. We take your one downline that you focused on building, like in Secure Independence, you built Secure Independence. That was the portfolio program. MLM Alliance, Assurance Network, same thing. Then we put you all into the first company, and then once you started to make some money and enough to cover your auto ship or your initial order in the second company, you know, in other words, get you into profit, we put you into the second company. Then once it happens, into the third company and so forth. So what happens is, early on, certainly later on, a lot of it can be more cash, but early on, you're not making a lot of money, you're making a lot of product, and your downline will only follow you and do this if they're going to be in profit too, and the math just completely falls apart there. Okay, this thing can only fan out so far. There's going to always be a bottom level that's going to say, no, I'm not ready to move an order yet. Now, before all the anti-MLM zealots out there jump on that and go, hey, even Lynn agrees with us. No, understand, I'm talking about a snapshot of any given moment. Now, anybody at the bottom can ultimately have a big downline below them and be at the top of their organization someday. Every distributor out there that ever got successful and made a lot of money in this business was at the bottom, quote unquote, at some point in their career. But still, they can't all be into profit and ordering two to get you into profit simultaneously. It just isn't going to happen. So if pursuing multiple MLM companies is the way to go, then why, out of dozens of portfolio deals over all of these years and thousands of participants in all of these programs combined, there is not one person that's ever maintained even a modest $5,000 monthly income for any length of time, a year or two? Now, sure, there are a few rare exceptions that exist where someone, you know, was earning $5,000 who's actively trying to build in more than one company. But this was accomplished, like I said, either on a serial basis. They built one, left it, then built another one. Or it works something kind of like the way that, you know, the all-time Major League home run record for brothers, which is 767, works where Tommy Aaron hit 12 and his brother Hank hit 755. Kind of like that. In other words, you earn $4,700 in one company and $100 in three others, then you could rightfully claim, oh, Len Clements is wrong. I'm working four companies at the same time, and I'm making $5,000 per month. So there. Well, technically, I guess that would be true. But then I'd say, show me a $5,000 income from a portfolio of three or more companies with no more than half of the income coming from any one company for more than 2 years. And then you would hear this. So, again, it's been done over and over. There's all kinds of examples to look back on in history to know how they work based on this identical concept, 100% failure rate throughout network marketing history. And in fact, I'm not the only one that's pointed this out. Like I said, there are other experts and advocates and watchdogs out there in the industry that have reported and commented on portfolio programs over all of these years as well, too. For example, is a very well-known MLM advocate and watchdog to the industry, and a very well-known consultant, very well-respected person in the business. And he did a lot of analysis of portfolio or umbrella programs back in the 90s, you know, when I did, as well as just a few years ago. And here's some of the comments that he's made on his website. Quote, I started writing about these over 10 years ago. This was, by the way, written back in the early mid-90s. So he's referring to portfolio deals back in the 80s here. I'll start over on the quote. I started writing about these over 10 years ago. These folks sometimes, but rarely, are actually good guys trying to build a triple hitter deal where they steer you into three or more different deals. To this date, all umbrella portfolio companies have failed. Why? One, they cut deals with loser companies that put them at the top of the downline, and the company fails. Two, new people have trouble enough learning one company, much less three. Ten, forget it. End quote. And by the way, of course, the people who start the portfolio program, of course, they always go at the top of all of these different organizations, and they're making the $50 a month and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm sure they're going to do very, very well with it. But anyway, here's another quote from this very well-respected MLM consultant and advocate and watchdog. Portfolio umbrella clubs rearing ugly heads again. That was the headline of his blog entry. These are old, dead, never-win MLM ideas. The idea is that you will join a company that will put you in multiple MLMs and you will make money out of each one. Careful planning allows money to flow for all. Yuck, yuck, fat chance, run. That was his added commentary. Quoting again, I have a hard editorial opinion on these downline building dogs after watching 20 years of failures. There is a 4 to 5 year memory cycle on these dogs that allow these old failures to keep reinventing themselves. Joining multiple MLMs, 1 to 5, I'm not sure how one's multiple, but that's what he says, as a portfolio or umbrella sounds good in theory, but not in practice. Here are some facts about these dead-on-arrival deals. Now, I'm going to end the quote there and just say that, first of all, what he's referring to here is the MLM industry does have a very short attention span and does not have a very good long-term memory. So every few years, a whole new group of people have come in, and you can hit them with portfolio deals, and they won't remember all the ones that just failed in the past. Actually, it kind of that cycle is more, seems like almost a once-per-decade kind of thing now, because in the early mid-90s, early mid-0s, and now here they are again. But anyway, that's the cycle that he's referring to. But now he's going to explain some of the facts about why these deals don't work. Number one, MLM portfolio or umbrella companies are confusing downline building clubs to benefit the guys at the top. Some have been honest failures. Some includes friends of mine that I violently warned. Others are purely deceptive scams starting by plotters who know that being at the top of the downline in each company will benefit them. Number two, The little guys at the middle or the bottom can't work or build one MLM, much less 2 to 5. The overflow or spillover that's promised that the downline builders brought them in with mathematically can't work. Number 3. At the end of about 8 to 14 months, the guys at the bottom leave and the quote-unquote window shade effect disintegration starts, level by level, faster and faster. Ending the quote here because this is interesting. This is one of the two terms that I actually coined that really got adopted within the industry. So I was kind of proud to see another consultant in the industry that I respected kind of use my term. Window shade effect, that was mine. Also, anti-MLM zealot, which is now a common term in the industry. Yeah, I invented that one too. So there's my little claim to fame. Anyway, number 4. Losers complain to the law and the law goes after the umbrella company. If it is a club, a trick pulled to try to get away from registering with states, regulators then fall upon the owners. Okay, now what he's referring to there is that there are, I think, at least 13 states where you have to register as an MLM company. But again, what happens if there's some type of legal action against the portfolio promoters? Okay, how much protection does this really offer when they could be vulnerable to that as well, too? I'm not saying they're going to. I'm simply saying I'm agreeing with this person here that's writing this blog entry that that is certainly one factor to be considered. Number 5, guys at the top, the founders, they make out sometimes, but most have ended up flat broke and disappeared out of the MLM industry with thousands of angry voices chasing them. The watchdog's opinion is to run when these quote-unquote new, so he's mocking the word new there as well, even back then, innovations get rolling full steam. Stay out of their way! Exclamation point. I'm still quoting. Marketing groups that try to do several MLM companies as portfolio or umbrella marketing companies have a dismal past. I kind of gave you a hint there as to where these quotes came from. And they are on Rod Cook's MLM Watchdog website. And they're still there to this day. And I completely agree with Rod. He is absolutely right. So I have no problem with anything that Rod Cook has said here. He is right on. So let the flames begin. Now, please don't call me names or accuse me of getting it all wrong, especially, you know, if you're going to email me or call me or whatever, specifically explain exactly what I got wrong, please. Okay, not about my opinions. I get to have those. But what did I cite as a matter of fact that's verifiably inaccurate? Now, some people will say, well, then, you know, normally you notify companies in advance and you ask them before you, you know, do these exposés or reviews or whatever. And did you do that here? Well, you know, I was going to, and I started to make a list of questions, and I realized, well, wait a minute. This is more like reviewing a movie. I'm not going to ask the director to explain things. You know, I get to review the movie. I get to have an opinion of it. And most of these are observations based on either logical, mathematical, or historical facts. You know, I don't know what they could have said that would be any I know exactly how the system works. I've reviewed all of their literature. I get the concept. I know what portfolio owners of the past have done. I know what the FTC requires as far as the motive for buying the product. I mean, I'm simply stating what I believe to be facts about how the company operates. I'm quoting verbatim things right from their website, so I can't be getting that wrong. And then I'm making commentary about it. So again, if I've stated anything as a matter of fact, as far as how the program works, and I've gotten it wrong, absolutely let me know, and I'll clear that up. But understand, I'm wrapping this up now. In conclusion, MLM is about a 75-year-old industry. Everything has been tried. Everything you see today is just a variation of what's already been done over and over and over. Okay, there's nothing new in this industry. So portfolio schemes are one of the oldest, most tried concepts in MLM history, and history doesn't lie, nor does the graveyard full of dead portfolio deals. Okay, if it works so well, if there are so many advantages to doing it this way, then why isn't everyone doing it? In fact, pursuing multiple MLM deals is a concept that is almost unanimously discredited by the most successful professionals working today. The vast majority of consultants and attorneys and leaders that have been in this industry for many, many years will tell you, do not participate in the portfolio deal. They don't work. They frown on this concept. You know, why is it? Why is, again, there not one example of a successful person who's participated in a program like this anywhere in MLM history? Like I said, the richest, most successful distributors of all time, they do exactly the opposite of this. History has proven to us what you have to do to be successful. you have to have a commitment and a tenacity to one company and stick with it. That's what creates success in this industry. Learn about the industry, learn about your company, and treat your business as a serious business. That's how you be successful in this industry. Now, again, send your comments. I'll discuss this again in the future show. We'll do updates and any kind of comments that come back, we'll discuss them. In the next show, I'm going to be doing a whole bunch of little items that I need to catch up on, not just one whole show about one thing again. So stay tuned. Stay connected by getting involved with the MLM Alerts. If you're listening to this and you're not a subscriber, go to marketwaveinc.com. In the upper left-hand corner, there's a link to subscribe, or you can just go to the menu and subscribe to the alerts, where you'll be getting written alerts that'll tell you about these upcoming podcasts and also other newsworthy events that's going on. And otherwise, we will see you back here on this show, Inside Network Marketing, next time around, probably in about a week or so. To everybody else, in the meantime, have a great week.